music.
Welcome to this edition of the Double Take Broadcast, hosted by Di, Randy, and Donnie Vaughn, the marketing twins at 1429 Creative. And this is the second of a three-part interview with Joel Keeley of Barra Church here in Trophy Club, Texas, suburb of the Dallas-Fort Worth and Denton metro area. Now, Donnie and I went to school with Joel at Abilene Christian University, so we've known Joel for 20-plus years, and I do hope you had an opportunity to listen to the first segment of this three-part interview. Now, in this segment, I wanted to find out what Joel would say was the most challenging and the most rewarding part of being a church planter. I think his answers are going to surprise you. Now, in addition to our ministry marketing blog at 1429creative.com, this ministry podcast hopes to be a resource for those of you in church leadership, nonprofit ministry, and as well as any organization who seeks to maximize your communication to get the message of Christ out to the community and to the world. Through these podcasts about better communication, ministry marketing tips, and replays of interviews with ministry leaders like Joel and other practical resource people, we want to come alongside you in ultimately advancing the kingdom of God. You can get more ideas and inspiration and interviews from us at our website, 1429creative.com, and connecting with the Marketing Twins on Facebook and on Twitter. As we begin our second part of the three-part interview with Joel, I remind you to go to his website and connect with Joel on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, YouTube, all over the place on social media. You can go there at barrachurch.com.
You've done some work in, I guess what we call maybe established and mature churches and some newer churches, and now you're kind of in the realm of planting and, you know, being involved with what God's doing in planting a new church. What's the most challenging part of this season of ministry, and maybe what's the most rewarding as well? Kind of both sides of the coin is good.
Well, you have in an established church, and I've worked at good ones. I've just been blessed. But you have a feeling of what I'm calling perceived control. Like somehow, you know, the money's going to come in because it's established. It's already going. You have a building. You have people. You have elders. You have programs. You have tradition. And so you are under this perceived control. But in reality, you know, we had a tornado 2 weeks come to Trophy Club, a small one, but you know, a tornado could take out your building. The saying among ministers is you're only one sermon away, and so you get, you know, the people can get all mad and leave, elders come and go and resign, and so you really don't have control. God is in control, but you have this perceived control in an established church. In planting a church, it's very crystal clear daily. You have zero control. You go from adult to child instantly. And so the most challenging is just feeling like a kid again. Like, you know, a kid, you know, if you're six, you don't have a job. You don't have a, you know, income. You can't make your own decisions. You have to go to your parent and say, can I buy this? Can I stay the night here? Can I go do this? And so everything is, you're totally dependent upon your parent. You know, when you're a kid, well, as a church planner, you go back into that mode because you don't have any money, so you have to go to God and say, God, can you help with this? You don't have people, so you have to pray for God to send people. You don't have tradition, so you have to go to God and say, what theologically do we need to be doing? And it just pushes your dependence right back, you know, on God. But in reality, you know, that's possibly the most rewarding thing is the childlike nature of the relationships restored, and you get to, it's like it, as a kid, you know, every day's fun and every day's an adventure, and you're not worried as much because you know God's got it. And so one of the things that Kim and I try to remember is, you know, kind of what we perceived to be the word from God was, hey, if you preach Jesus, I'll send wise men and gifts. You know, translated kind of practically, you just worry about
the mission and the vision, and the other stuff, yeah, you got to have the plan and strategy, and we can talk about that in a minute, but really, it's God's. And so you can start to think that when you're an established church, that it's your church and it's up to you. But in a plant, man, it's this is God. And so, you know, actually, like even my title, you know, you have to think, well, what's my title? When you get hired at a job, you just, that's the title they give you. But when you're doing business cards, you're like, well, I want to call myself. And so I chose, you know, pastor for vision and teaching. And I kind of think that God's called me to, he's given me a vision, and I'm to teach and equip people and lead out in that. But, you know, at Barra, we say that Jesus is the senior pastor, that he's in charge. And so if there's a dispute, problem, question, what should we do? Should we do this? Should we not do this? We go to Jesus. And so, you know, because we don't have elders yet, and, you know, so you just have to go to Jesus and say, okay, God, so we pray about it. And, you know, that's a challenge because you used to just kind of run with it. I'll tell you, the other cool reward is fresh stories in a perceived church, or perceived church, in a established church. It seems like the lure or the appeal of the good old days, you know, things just, your stories get older. I don't know why that is, but it seems like the two most evangelistic churches, you know, at least in the United States right now, are mega churches and church plants. And not, it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people, and you don't have to be a mega church or a church plant to be evangelistic. You just have to have people with a missional heart. But the reality is, you know, we double in size about every week around here, you know, because we went from, you know, Kim and I to another couple. Oh, we're double. We're at four. And, you know, so when we go from, you know, 10 to 20 on prayer night, you know, we're fired up. When one person, you know, repents and says in their prayer, God, forgive me of my sin, well, we, you know, I'm walking around at Starbucks next day going, yeah, we get 10% of our church comes forward every week. You know? Well, it's, you know, one person out of 10. I mean, but the stories are fresh. The dependence is deeper. And the challenge is you have to go to God with everything. And so you have to, there's more to talk about. I don't want to get to that.
Let me ask you a couple of questions related to, I know there's going to be people who have followed Joel Keeley. They know you. They, you know, or maybe they just hear the idea of church planning. Maybe they are in an established church, or maybe they're in some form of ministry, and the idea of church planning is kind of terrifying to them. And you mentioned some reasons why that would be. But talk to the, let's be candid as you are, I know always, and you mentioned some things already, but has this transition from being the senior minister of the church to planning, what has that done for your faith? Has it been challenging for you? Has it been encouraging? Or does it go from day to day? Tell us about that transition time when you're talking about younger, maybe, or just other people who are thinking about, you know, taking that leap of church planning, but they're just kind of terrified.
Well, that's a good question, Ray. I've been asked that before. Does it strengthen your faith, or does it present, you know, obstacles? And the reason it's a good question is because you can say yes. I mean, it's both. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think the fact that it's so challenging, it is also, at the same time, strengthening your faith. You know, tested by fire. So I would tell people, you know, 2 out of 12 spies aren't afraid of tall people and think God can, you know, still kick tail. And 1 out of 12 people will get out of a boat. So, yeah, church planning is not heroic. It's not, you know, I'm not some kind of a saint. God doesn't call everyone to do it, but it is stinking scary, I'll tell you that. And it's challenging because, you know, it's kind of like a baby, you know. This is the analogy I use. When somebody gets pregnant, if the mom dies at, you know, 5 weeks of conception, the baby dies with the mom.
But if the mom dies 5 weeks before delivery, like in a car wreck, they could still maybe take the baby and the baby lives. We believe that God has put this baby church inside of Kim and I's heart, and it's being developed. And, you know, we're giving birth, and it's painful and hard and messy, and, you know, especially when you're just starting out. You know, when your wife says she's pregnant and she's feeling sick, well, you don't see anything in her stomach. So you're thinking, well, I don't know why she's sick. She looks fine. You know, and you're looking at your wife kind of crazy. Well, I think that's how people think about us, because we're like, I've got this vision and this thing, and people can't see it yet. And you have to get a little more pregnant. And I would just encourage people to realize that it's going to be, you won't work harder than you do at church planning. I've never worked harder in my life. And I was a grinder because I'm not talented, so I kind of had to make up for it just by getting it out at 60, 70 hours a week and a lot of prayer. But the reality is, man, it's fun and rewarding, and that the pressing in to Jesus has blessed me personally unlike anything else. The closest thing I can equate is when you go on those mission trips and you're outside of your comfort zone, you just get closer to God. And when you do tough stuff, you have to depend upon a big God. So I would say, it does both. It really, really does. It strengthens my faith, but it is, rocked my world, and it's a weird phrase, but it's really kind of, it causes you to really question so many things. It exposes any kind of pride, I call it just a big kick to the pride, every day, because you have to depend upon God. You cannot fake yourself into thinking that it's about you. In reality, you're right. You said at the start, yeah, you could build a church without the Holy Spirit, but it really wouldn't be a church. You'd be like a country club, a little gathering kind of deal. To do something for God, you have to do it through God and by God and with God. And so, man, it's been great. It's been so fun.
I love this segment of this interview with Joel Keeley of Barra Church. And I love this most of all because it reminded me of the 12 years that Kelly and I, my wife and I, spent training, theological training, missiological training, language training. Spent almost 3 years in preparation and then another 9 years on the ground in Benin, West Africa. And all those years of training and all those beginning early years of being there in Benin really were just some great years, but they were also very challenging years. As we learned to grow closer to God, to see ourselves become more dependent on Him, things were not, we were in an unknown place among an unknown people with an unknown language. There's so many things that we did not know, but it really was an opportunity for us to draw closer to Him. And I hope that you, if you've heard this story of Joel's experience, that you also can draw closer to Him in your ministry. We want these podcasts to be a ministry to you, to help you, to encourage you, to inspire you. Donnie and I love to come alongside of ministry leaders wanting to communicate better, to communicate their passion to the community and to the world around them. So we invite you to go to our website, 1429creative.com. Connect with us on social media like Facebook and Twitter. And through this ministry podcast, we want to help you advance the mission of God so that you can go out and do greater things.